Interviews on The Fan are presented by the Honey Smoked Fish Company.
Honey Smoked Salmon from the Honey Smoked Fish Company is now available at your favorite Walmart.
That's probably pretty good, Cody. I mean, how many walls can you sell?
You need to get out more, Mac.
What?
Honey Smoked Salmon, now available at Walmart.
So they don't sell walls.
Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Sun Power Sports, Colorado's largest ATV and motorcycle dealer. Before we go to the phones, I want to mention a couple programming notes. We had a lot of conventional fishing today. We will have some more next week. We'll have some hunting next week. But we also will have some more fly fishing next week. Kirk Dieter, editor for Trout Magazine and editor-at-large for Field & Stream and a fly fishing author, will join us, as will David Nickum, the executive director of Colorado's Trout Unlimited. So we'll have both those gentlemen on with us next week, so we'll have a lot for you fly fishermen. But let's go back to the phones, because we're still talking a bunch of conventional fishing. And joining us, he's been absent for a while because of some family matters, and we're so glad to have him back, Ronnie Castiglione. And Ronnie, I got to tell you that I looked at your topic, and it's so right on point today, because we've talked a lot of conventional fishing, and a lot of people have said, well, start out fishing topwater, but we really haven't got into depth about the presentation, and that's really what you want to talk about.
Yeah, Terry, I mean, topwater is definitely one of my favorite ways to approach catching fish. It's one of my favorite ways to get clients to catch fish. It's absolutely one of my favorite ways to get kids to catch fish. I mean, if you've never seen a kid fish a surface popper in a little pond and catch a bunch of bluegills or a bunch of little bass, that's about as much fun as they can possibly have. But, you know, after guiding for 8 years and trying to teach people how to fish surface lures, there's some common mistakes I see that happen all the time, and it really decreases the catch rate if you're not just going about certain things right, Terry. So just kind of want to cover some of the tips that I like to impart to my clients and kind of help people out.
Now, will those tips include maybe choosing the right topwater also?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the right topwater bait is definitely, you know, where you want to start. So the things you want to think about is size of the topwater bait. That's important. Your ability to fish the topwater bait. The most simple one is going to be a surface popper. It's pretty basic, Terry. You cast it out there, you pop it along, you let it pause, you kind of work it along. That's kind of the one I start clients out with. Now, poppers really shine, however, when you're not around very heavy cover. So, you know, open water, places like Horsetooth, where there's not a lot of grass, there's not a lot of submerged vegetation, all that stuff. Poppers really work great up on Horsetooth. The next kind of bait that I kind of steered towards, you know, and try to teach clients to use is a small walking bait of some sort, Terry. So a little stick-type walking bait, something that you have to actually impart the action to. You got to learn the rhythm. You got to be able to just barely move that rod tip, the short little strokes on a rhythmic kind of cadence to get that thing to slash back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Once you learn to do it, it's like riding a bike, and it's very, very easy. But if you've never learned to work a walking bait, it can be very difficult until you get the rhythm down. Walking baits are excellent. You know, it tends to be for me that the popper, it works better when the fish are maybe a little less aggressive, Terry, when they're a little less willing to chase. Maybe they want the bait sitting still and they're going to dart up and get it. But when they are very aggressive, let's say they're in chasing, actively chasing bait, they're actively up feeding, that walking bait, so you can cover more water with it, you can work it a little faster, and you can trigger those strikes. That tends to be when I go to the walking bait, Terry. Now, you know, let's talk about the flip side of that. Let's say we get off a lake like Horsetooth and we get down to a lake like Boyd, Terry. This time of year, Boyd, fishing surface lures are outstanding, Terry. You can run through all kinds of fish, smallmouth, largemouth. You'll catch walleyes. You'll catch catfish on surface lures, which people are always amazed when we do it. But we do it all the time, Terry. The white bass in that lake absolutely destroy surface lures, Terry, and I'm sure you know that. But when you get into Boyd right now and you take a look at it, Boyd's absolutely full of water, Terry. There's a ton of grass. There's a ton of trees in the water. There's all kinds of vegetation. The pondweed is growing to the top. There's all sort of matted stuff growing in. Very, very thick. Very, very tough to fish through. The poppers and the walking baits, because they have the treble hooks hanging off them, might not be the best choice in that situation, Terry. So when we get clients out on Boyd, you know, a lot of times I'm going to start them off with something like a buzzbait. And I heard you guys talking a little bit about a buzzbait earlier in the show. Buzzbait's an excellent excellent bait to get out there. It's pretty simple to learn, Terry. You just throw it out there. You keep the rod tip relatively high, and you just reel that thing along fast enough to get that little prop to spin and keep that bait right along the surface. As we get into some of the really, really thicker stuff, however, and you get into some of that real thick mat, some of the real heavy stuff, even that buzz bait won't come through some of that real thick stuff, Terry. So that's when I turn clients to something like a hollow body soft plastic frog, something like that, Terry, that they can throw all the way deep into that cover, and it's not going to get a bunch of grass hanging on it. It's going to come through that stuff, and you're going to be able to get those strikes right up in the middle of that stuff, Terry. Now, talking about all that, Terry, the biggest mistake, the common mistake that I see from clients and from people day in and day out, is that when they are fishing a surface lure, Terry, they are way, way too fast to set the hook. On almost all of those presentations, when you visually see that fish come up and blast that bait on the surface, if you lay into them right then, 9 times out of 10, you will yank that presentation right out of their mouth. And that's the hardest part, Terry, and I know you've got experience with it. I have to teach clients to slow way, way down. And with most of those baits, let's talk about like the popper and the walking bait, I want them to just continue the action that elicited the strike. I want them to just continue with the rod tip down most of the time, working it like they were working it, even after they see the explosion on it, until they feel the weight of the fish pulling on the line. Once they actually feel the weight and resistance of the fish, that's when I want them to reel into it and set the hook. Talking about the poppers and or the plastic frogs and the buzz baits, Terry, it's even a longer pause for me. The buzz bait's like slightly longer than the popper or the other one, but you still want to pause it. You want to throw them tiny little bit of slack right when you see explosion. Wait a second, and then swing into them. On the frog, Terry, you got to really, really slow down. You got to give them what seems like forever, but it's not. You just got to pause. You got to wait. I try to teach people, Terry, to kind of have a phrase that they say. So once that fish goes up and blasts that lure, I try to get my clients to say, oh, there's one right there, and then pause for a second and then set the hook up frog, Terry. Without a doubt, if you're too fast on that, and you don't give that fish enough time to actually turn its body, the fish comes up, he blasts it, he gets it in his mouth, but most of the time he's coming up behind it, he's coming the direction it was coming at, so he's coming at you. If you don't allow that fish enough time to suck that thing in, turn his head, and start digging back down into the water so that when you set the hook, it gets him in the side of the mouth, you are going to miss more fish, and it's going to be very, very frustrating. But those are the big tips, Terry. If you just kind of do that, then you'll have a lot more success.
I couldn't agree with you more. And one of the hardest things in fishing, especially in top waters, is not setting the hook too fast. I think plastic worm fishermen get a little better at it because the plastic worms that we use, like the Berkley Power Bait, are so well scented that we've trained ourselves to give the fish time and almost feel what he's doing before we set the hook.
You don't see it visually. You know, on all presentations, in my experience, if you visually see you're in a clear lake and a fish comes up and bites something, you got a soft plastic, you're in a jig or anything like that. If you visually see that fish come up and strike it and you set the hook visually, you will miss that fish a lot of times as opposed to waiting to actually feel the strike and feel the power of the fish and then set into them. So it's the visual thing that gets people excited, Terry, but once they slow down and they get used to it, then you know, catching them on top may be one of the funnest ways to catch fish, period, Terry.
Now, a couple quick questions for you. One is
Sure. Time
of day. Do you find you have to fish early? You know, we always hear early and late unless it's really overcast. Personally, I've had some good success with topwater other times. What personally have you seen?
Well, low light conditions are generally going to be the best for surface lures, in my opinion. However, if you see fish that are actively coming to the surface, recently on Horsetooth, I've been hearing reports from Chad that there's a good cicada hatch up there, for example. And so there's these real big bugs that are landing on the water throughout the day, Terry. And so these fish are coming up to the surface to eat these bugs all day long. The key in that scenario is that you just can't cover water and run into them like you can in low light conditions. But if you see those fish actively on the surface and you make a very quick, accurate presentation to them with something like a popper and you put it right in that wheelhouse, those fish will bite all day long a lot of times, Terry. So, you know, also, if you get some overcast conditions, I think it lends itself towards surface lures. I think if you get too much wind, it gets difficult to fish surface lures a lot of times. But on the flip side, if it's dead calm, it might not be all that great to fish surface lures. So just a little bit of a breeze to break it up. A little low light conditions are going to be best. But without, you know, I always have them tied on all summer long, Terry. They're in my rod locker and they're ready to go at, you know, at any point. And I kind of let the fish tell me what they're doing, Terry.
Real quick, because we only got a minute or two left. How important is color?
You know, I try to match the hatch to some extent, Terry. I'm kind of a basic color sort of a guy, so shaddy stuff, shiny stuff when the sun's shining, more white-based stuff when the sun is not real bright. If I'm getting into water that has really, really stained or a tint to it, some sort of a color, then I may go to perchy or fire tiger type presentations. You know, it just kind of depends. If I'm fishing something that I'm thinking is going to look like a frog or represent a frog, then it's going to be froggy. If it's supposed to look like a gizzard shad, then it's going to be shaddy. You know, so I just kind of go about that way. You know, the other thing real quick, because we're running out of time, Terry, is you got to be throwing these presentations on the right rod. You know, a good standard spinning rod, a 7'2", medium to medium heavy, with braid on it will be effective for the average day guy to go out and throw these surface lures on. Once you get up and you start throwing the soft plastic frogs and things like that into the heavy cover, you got to go a little bit heavier with what you're doing, because, you know, if you get a 5-pounder and he's in the middle of the mat and he comes up and blasts a frog, you really got to be able to, you know, once you set the hook into that fish, you got to be able to winch him up out of that stuff and kind of skip him along the surface until he gets out of that real thick stuff. If you've got the wrong rod, if you're underpowered in your line, if you don't have a fast enough reel, Terry, then you're going to have trouble doing that. So a real good tip is there's a brand new reel coming out from Abu Garcia. They redesigned their Revo Rocket and the casting reel. So guys that like to use casting reels, that new Revo Rocket's got a 10-to-1 gear ratio and takes in 40 inches of line per turn. For frogging, Terry, that reel right there is on my list. I need that reel because, you know, I want that real quick reel once I get tight to that fish.
I got mine yesterday.
Oh, Terry, I'm jealous. I want it. That reel's on my list, Terry. That's going to be a frog reel. It's going to be a flipping and pitching reel for me. But for frogging, and the other thing is a lot of times, Terry, you get those strikes on those surface lures way out on the end of a cast. So you got to be able to get tight to them. You got to be able to yank them up out of there. You can use braid in a lot of scenarios. For me, braid hurts my elbows. So for surface lures, the bigger surface lures like the frogs, I go to a real heavy mono, something like a Trilene XT 20-pound that doesn't have a lot of stretch. But I got to have a fast reel, and I got to have a rod to compensate for that stretch. Those are kind of the T's, Terry. If you're getting the blow-ups and you're missing them, just adjust. Adjust what you're doing. The fish are telling you they want it. They're just showing you that you're not quite doing something right. It's either gear or it's, you know, what you're doing, Terry.
We got to go, Ronnie, but great information. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, buddy. You have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Ronnie Castiglione, always a great resource. Don't forget to follow us every Saturday morning here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Sometime in July, our time is going to change back to an earlier time, to our more standard time, and we should stay with that through the winter. But just keep track. We'll let you know on our Facebook page. Always follow us on Facebook to know everything that's going on, like the fact that Kirk Dieter and David Nickum will be on Talking Fly Fishing next week. We'll feature that on our Facebook page. Thanks to Kyle. Thanks to Karen for getting me through another 2 hours. And thank you for listening. We'll let the Eagles take us to the top of the hour on 104.3 The Fan.
Catch the fresh fish buzz with Honey Smoked Salmon from the Honey Smoked Fish Company. It's low in calories, a top 10 superfood, a protein, and it's a heart healthy alternative to energy drinks and snacks.
True, true.
Mac, what you doing with that oversized baseball glove?
Oh, this, Cody?
Are you trying to catch the fresh fish buzz again?
Maybe.
The Honey Smoked Fish Company. Available at Safeway, King Supers, Costco Business Centers, and now at Walmart.